The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Eugenia Sumedusechi
and Yvonne Atilego.
In the headlines, mixed reaction greets Imani's analysis of promises and policies of political parties. Government refutes UTAG's claims of recruitment ban of lecturers. Ghana to benefit from 185 million euros from Dutch government to deal with water, nutrition and sustainable energy issues. Muntie 3 to be released today, and Italy declares state of emergency in regions hit by earthquake. But first the summary with Yvonne Atilego.
Some political parties have expressed reservations about Imani's analysis of promises and policies of political parties. It says some political promises are not achievable, but the political parties say most of their policies and promises have been effectively implemented. The Deputy Minister in charge of Tertiary Education, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, says financial clearance has been approved for the recruitment of more than 1,000 teaching and non-teaching staff in public universities. This is in reaction to claims by the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAG, that government banned the employment of new lecturers. Host of an Accra-based station, Muntie FM, Salifu Marseille, Elias Mugabe, and panelists Alistair Nelson and Akko Khan are expected to be freed today from prison custody. This follows a remission of sentence by President John Mahama on the advice of the Council of State and in exercise of his constitutional powers under Article 72 of the Constitution. And Italy has declared a state of emergency in the regions worst hit by earthquake as hopes of finding more survivors fade. The 6.2 magnitude quake occurred 100 kilometers northeast of Rome in mountainous central Italy, killing at least 250 and injuring more than 365.
CBC is mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
Now the details. Elections are characterized by promises and policies by political parties to canvass for votes. The feasibility of some of these promises, however, is questionable. It is against this background that Imani Ghana engaged political parties, stakeholders and the media in a forum to analyze key promises by political parties going into this year's election. It emerged that only 25% of the 245 promises made by 6 political parties are quantifiable. According to Imani Ghana, the NDC came top with 6 quantifiable promises out of 20, while the NPP managed only 1 quantifiable promise out of 33. President and CEO of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo, said the move is not to criticize or vilify any political party, but rather help the voting public to appreciate the policies to make informed choices. Here is a report by Nathaniel Nati.
The forum centered on 6 political parties: the NDC, MPP, CPP, PPP, NDP, and the PNC, which Imani Ghana described as the vibrant parties in the country. Data for the analysis for the PPP was obtained from their manifesto. With the other political parties, data was obtained mainly from presentations at IEA sessions. The source of the data for the NDC and MPP were party websites, rallies and the media. The PPP's main promise to ensure free education from kindergarten to SHS level, as well as the MPP's proposal to establish a factory in each district in the country, were deemed non-quantifiable. For the NDC, its promise to reduce inflation rate to a single digit before or by 2017 was deemed quantifiable. Imani Ghana CEO Franklin Kujo said majority of the promises are deemed non-quantifiable because they lack the proper financial plan and cost analysis to make them possible.
In 2016, the number of promises that are being made, you have realized that over the last couple of months, there's been some claim that, well, if someone brings his manifesto first, especially the MPP, well, the MPC will steal it. And we think even though progress has been made, it's very important for every politician who promises to make your life a bit better to give you some detail. Because first of all, he or she doesn't use his money. And we have said that every politician does what he does in order to survive the next election, not because he loves. While you praise your candidate, it is important to step back and ask questions.
A research fellow with Imani Ghana, Andrew Ntim, explains the criteria used to determine whether promises are quantifiable or not.
If a promise clearly states what they're going to do and has some sort of measurement attached to it that you can actually measure in a continuous or discrete way, you can say perhaps the inflation rate has gone down by X amount. These are very specific promises that we know that we can measure and we can know exactly how far we get one. So one example for this is from the NDC. Their promise to decrease the inflation rate to a set rate to under 10%, to a single digit, by 2017. They have made very clear what they're going to do, how long it's going to take for them to do it, and set very specific numbers on it.
In reaction, a campaign aide to the flag bearer of the MPP, Justice Abeku Newton, said the party's promises should be assessed only after the launch of their manifesto.
NDC, the more quantifiable marks that they had is definitely based on the fact that they've been in power for almost the past 8 years. So there are deliverables upon which they can be assessed. We are in opposition and we haven't come out with our manifesto. So that aspect of their findings, I think, is well placed.
Imani Ghana is expected to come out with an assessment of the ruling government's performance in the coming weeks.
Nathaniel Nati reporting. Meanwhile, some political parties have been reacting to the research conducted by Imani Fez. The director of research of the NDC, Dr. William Mahaji, described the research by Imani as a weak argument. He said the fact that campaign promises are not measurable does not mean they cannot be introduced. Speaking to Agatha Samoan behind the news, Dr. Haji said the NDC is yet to introduce its manifesto. Therefore, it baffles him which campaign promise Imani is referring to.
I'm not sure what campaign promises they are talking about because we haven't launched our manifesto. As I keep saying, we have quite a number of policies and initiatives in the new manifesto that will be launched presently. So I don't really know what they are talking about. In any case, political parties don't make promises that are not attainable because the policies derive, or if you like, that the promises derive from an assessment of the development requirements and the core issues that they'll be presenting to the people for their campaign and how they resolve those issues when they get to power. So I am at a loss as to what they mean by the promises are not attainable in their view or in the view of those making the promises.
According to them, further research it conducted into the promises revealed that they lack the necessary basis to materialize.
I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't confess that, but I'm not sure that is very sound research. I mean, that is an opinion they are trying to express. We've done quite a bit of impact assessment of the policies that were implemented or that have been implemented over the time. For us, we are continuing some of these policies and then also introduce new initiatives. So I'm not sure that they are reflecting what the political parties are thinking about. I don't know for the other parties, but perhaps this is not for the NDC.
So you are saying that their conclusions are hasty because you are not yet out with your manifestos?
Yes, if the basis of the assessment and indeed the assertion is that they are not measurable, I think that is a very weak argument. What do you mean by they are not measurable? So if they are not measurable, they are not worth introducing. There are different indicators. Some are input indicators, some are output indicators, some are process indicators. So you can't make a blanket statement that they are not measurable. That is not acceptable.
Director of Research of the NDC, Dr. William Mahaji. The MPP says it is not true that only one out of the party's 33 policies is doable. Men's Ham Steven, who is a member of the MPP communication team, says all the party's policies are feasible and achievable.
On which basis is Imani bringing out this information? On which basis they are asking this question? Because
We have promised a lot of things, and as of now, our manifesto is not yet ready out, and our agreement document are listing that they always come across, that they are saying this, the promises that we have outlined, when God willing, we take over 2017 to be implemented. What I want to say is our policies, our promises, all what we are planning to do, when God willing, we come to power, they are all visible and they are all achievable. When we promise national health insurance that when we take over in 2000, we will implement. Haven't we implemented? We've implemented it. Well, we take education. We've implemented a lot of policies in our educational sector. And what we are saying is all our promises, all our plans, all our policies are visible and doable. And when we take over, we are going to make sure we implement all of them. The free SHS, the one factory, one district policy that God will, when another wins power, will be implementing, is doable, and the policy is even in progress. Research work, everything has been done. The visibility studies, each district, which factory is possible to be established, at which place, everything has been done.
So with that one district, one factory promise, do you have the financial plan and the cost benefits analysis to back that promise?
Everything is ready. The cost benefits analysis, everything has been done. And at the right time, our leader, Nana Akufo-Addo, will adopt the plan.
Mensham Steven is with the MPP communication team. The chairman of PNC, Bernard Mona, said the ideas the party advanced over the years have been incorporated in some national policies. He mentioned the health insurance and school feeding programs as ideas of the PNC.
I can say on authority that the PNC promises have never been big. They have never been promises that are not achievable. Let me just cite a few of those promises we made that have been realized in spite of the fact that the PNC has not been in government. You recall the time that we had the Mobrawa struggle in this country, where student leaders were being beaten by the police, hot waters and rubber bullets were shot into students because they were protesting against cost sharing as was introduced by the then government. The PNC opted that we should not be fighting our students with bullets. They are the future of our nation. At the end of the day, it was the PNC that proposed the National Education Trust Fund.
Chairman of the PNC, Bernard Mona, the PPP policy advisor, Kofi Asamoah-Sian, for his part, commended Imani for the initiative as it will help keep parties on their toes. He was, however, not happy that Imani accused the party of not developing policy details.
Let me commend Imani for such an initiative. It's good to the extent that it guides political parties to make realistic promises and to be aware of the fact that people are watching and people are listening, so that we'll be held accountable based on the information that we put in our policy statement. Having said that, it is also good that Imani is doing this to expose those that have had an opportunity to govern this country for the last 8 years and have not delivered on their promises, on their huge manifesto document. But as far as we are concerned, the second point we want to make is that we have in our policy statement 11 areas that we think are of paramount importance, and we have committed ourselves to delivering them. I don't know how Imani arrived at 41 or 49 promises, but embedded in these 11 thematic areas are specific things we want to do, and probably these are the things Imani has listed.
PPP policy advisor Kofi Asamoah-Sian, the director of communications of the CPP, Abdul Rauf Kadiri, described Imani's analysis as troubling. He said the CPP's policies can be realized and the party is committed to it.
I find the research or the analysis that Imani has done troubling in the sense that the Convention People's Party hasn't put anything out there that is not realizable. All the things that we have said we are going to do, we are very, very sure and positive that when given the nod in this country, we can achieve. So I would want to say that I do not find any aspects of the things that I have said as IE that cannot be achieved. If it's about the, for example, the almond, you know, project that he mentioned about. First of all, we have to appreciate the fact that Ghana has actually been into cocoa production in the last 100 years.
Director of Communications of the CPP, Abdul Rauf Kadir. President Mahama says peace and unity in the NDC will be crucial to the party's chances of winning this year's election. He added that his work is not done yet and pleaded for one more term in office to complete the many projects the government is embarking on. The president was addressing a rally at Gushiao in the northern region as part of his tour of the region. He also addressed some comments made by the opposition that government is wasting money on unnecessary projects.
It will make it easier and shorter for you to travel down south, because we know that this is an important farming area, and the bulk of the yams and the maize and the beans and the groundnuts and all the things we eat come from this area. And so it is important for you to have a good road so that we can evacuate those agricultural products down to the south. And that is why we are investing in the Eastern Corridor Road. We are building the Eastern Corridor Road as a major highway for the Eastern Corridor of our country. And we go and borrow money and we are doing it. Are we wasting the money? If we go and take money and build community-based senior high schools, because when our children finish GHS, they pass, but the secondary school space is not enough, so they are not able to continue to senior high school, and we go and take money to build community-based senior high schools, are we wasting the money? If we go and take money to expand Tamale Teaching Hospital as the referral hospital for the whole of the northern region, so that if somebody's illness cannot be managed in the district hospital, you will be sent to Tamale Hospital, and all the equipment, MRI, CT scan, X-ray machine, echocardiogram, electrocardiogram, everything is there to be able to diagnose your disease. Are we wasting money?
President Mahama. And away from the NDC to the NPP, who has appealed to the president to stop attacking its presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo. The party also expressed concern about the president referring to the NPP as a divided one. Speaking at a news conference in Accra, the acting general secretary John Bwodu said the party is united and working hard to unseat the NDC come December 7. Yvonne Atilagu has more.
The news conference by the NPP, addressed by Acting General Secretary John Bwodu, was to react to reports that the party's flag bearer, Nana Akufo-Addo, is a dictator. Mr. Bwodu said Nana Addo has a track record of being a unifier and does not deserve to be called a dictator.
We are tempted to ask, what influence was the president under to call Akufo-Addo a dictator? Or is it by his desire to hold on to power that is fast slipping away in desperation? He's now prepared to say whatever and do whatever in the hope to perpetuate his bad leadership on the people of Ghana.
The acting general secretary spelled out some reasons which make Nana Addo a unifier.
All the people who contested Nana Addo Akufo-Addo in the 2010 presidential primaries are at the forefront of the NPP campaign today. Alanchanantin is at the right side of Nana Akufo-Addo, traveling up and down the country, preaching a positive message of change to the suffering masses of Ghana. And then the Mojo Gati, Ose Ameyao, and all of them are fully committed to an Akufo-Addo victory. The party argues its leader over 94% of its grassroots support cannot be said to be split in the middle. No amount of voodoo mathematics can change this fact. This is a peaceful political party. We are proud of our non-violent issue and our faith in the rule of law and democracy.
Mr. Bwodu said the NPP will continue to campaign on issues and will not trade in insults with any political party.
Yvonne Atilego.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Mixed reaction greets Imani's analysis of promises and policies of political parties. Government refutes UTAC's claim of recruitment ban of lecturers. Ghana benefits from €185 million from Dutch government to deal with water, nutrition and sustainable energy issues. Moon Tier 3 to be released today, and Italy declares state of emergency in regions hit by earthquakes.
Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa, has refuted claims by the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAG, that government has placed a ban on the employment of new lecturers. According to him, financial clearance has been approved for the recruitment of more than 1,000 teaching and non-teaching staff. He spoke to Agatha Samoa on Behind the News.
there is a claim that there is a ban on recruitment. We want to dispel that notion strongly and forcefully. We want to assure everybody that there is no ban. Indeed, UTAC itself admits in their statement that they read at the press conference that recruitment is ongoing. Financial clearance has been given to 1,018 teaching and non-teaching staff who have been employed as we speak. They are receiving their employment letters. What UTAC is claiming is that there are more people who should have been employed. But we have to, our response to them, so first of all, let's agree that there is no ban. You can't say there is a ban when people are being employed. If the claim is that you have more names, more people to be employed.
Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okujetu Ablakwa.
The government and civil society organizations will continue to receive support from the Dutch government to address the inequality gap in the country. Their continued support is in recognition of Ghana's democracy and peaceful coexistence, which have positioned it as the gateway to Africa. The first secretary of the Netherlands Embassy, Thierry Van Helden, serves at the official launch of the Voice for Change partnership program in Accra. George Asikwe reports that the Dutch government is committing €185 million for the program, which will deal with water, food and nutrition and sustainable energy issues.
The Voice for Change partnership program is an evidence-based advocacy program being implemented by SNV Netherlands Development Organization in partnership with the International Food and Policy Research Institute. The five-year program, which started this year, is funded by the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It will focus on water, hygiene, security, food and nutrition and sustainable energy with the hope of addressing poverty. The first secretary at the Netherlands Embassy, Thierry Van Helden, said his country will continue to work in partnership with developing countries to bridge the poverty gap. He urged CSOs to be action-minded by going beyond talking and paper formalities to make life better for the underprivileged in society.
Voice for Change partnership program is a very important partnership within the framework, the policy framework of dialogue and dissent. Dialogue and dissent is something which is financed and sponsored by the Netherlands government to strengthen civil society organizations in lower middle income countries in their role as advocates and lobbyists to effectively voice alternative or dissenting views in a dynamic and increasingly global context.
You hear the first secretary at the Netherlands Embassy, Thierry Van Helden, ending that report by George Asikri.
Host of an Accra-based station, Muntie FM, Sally Fumasi, alias Mogabi, and panelist Alistair Nelson and Ako Ghana expected to be freed today from prison custody. This follows a remission of sentence by President John Mahama on the advice of the Council of State and in exercise of his constitutional powers under Article 72 of the Constitution. The Muntie three were sentenced by the Supreme Court to 4 months imprisonment and a fine of 10,000 Ghana cedis each for contempt of court. The three were sentenced on 27 July 2016 and have served part of the prison sentences imposed on them.
The founder and leader of the International God's Way Church, Bishop Daniel Obinim, has been granted bail after spending 48 hours in police custody. Bishop Obinim has been in police custody for assault on two members of his church and fraud since Tuesday. The public relations officer of the Criminal Investigations Department, CID, ASP Joseph Benefudakwa, said the police have not charged him for any offense yet because investigations are still ongoing. He said a person could only be charged with an offense after investigation has been finalized. He said until the investigations are over, Bishop Obinim has been asked to report periodically at the CID headquarters to assist the police to finalize the investigations.
On a news from elsewhere, Tanzanian authorities have banned political parties from holding meetings, saying they breed hatred and incite violence against the security forces. The ban comes the day after four police officers were killed in the commercial capital, Dar es Salaam.
And Italy has declared Italy has declared a state of emergency in the regions west hit by earthquake as hopes of finding more survivors fade. The 6.2 magnitude quake occurred 100 kilometers northeast of Rome in mountainous central Italy. Prime Minister Matteo Renzi has pledged £50 million in funds for rebuilding. At least 250 people are known to have died, with 365 more injured. Now to end the news, the main points again. Some political parties have expressed reservations about Imani's analysis of promises and policies of political parties. The political parties say most of their policies and promises have been effectively implemented. Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudzeto Blakwa, says financial clearance has been approved for the recruitment of more than 1,000 teaching and non-teaching staff in public universities. Mr. Okudzeto Blakwa said this in an interview with Radio Ghana in reaction to claims by the UTAG that government has banned the employment of new lecturers. And host of an Accra Bay station, Munti FM, Sally Fumasi, and panelist Alistair Nelson and Akogan are expected to be freed today from prison custody. The news was presented by Eugenia Smedu-Sechi and Yvonne Attila.